Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Uncanny Treks. Very special week this week as we talk about episode 8. What was this one called again of the new Superman show, episode 8?
The Death of Clark Kent, Bob.
But Conduit wasn't there, Matt. Where was Conduit?
Well, Bob, we did talk about this last week. It just wasn't meant to be. I still think it's really crazy we have not seen that character reintroduced in some form of other media. Not even in video games. Where is Conduit? Somebody bring this character back.
He would make a pretty good, like, level 2 or level 3 boss on a video game.
Or even just some random, bring in a quick 2 or 3 story arc, something short.
I mean, for sure, Conduit's a dumb character, but he's not such a dumb character that he should never return.
Yeah, it's not like that red dude. Remember the red guy that, like, Superman couldn't hit?
Massacre?
Did he come back?
Massacre was back several times.
That guy came back, but Conduit didn't?
We're talking about the guy who's an alien, who's big and red, and
he's got the long hair. Yeah. I'm thinking of the ones they made action figures of during that time.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know they made a Massacre action figure.
Yeah, they made a 2-pack action figure, one with Massacre in it.
When we were kids, had at least 2 Superman comics with Massacre on the cover.
They were back to back. Both of them, the first one showed Massacre hitting Superman and he was knocked out. The second one had Superman hitting Massacre.
But he definitely, after the death of Clark Kent, I think it was the trial of Superman.
Right. I think he did show up again there.
He's in the trial of Superman.
You're right.
Yeah. He might be there more often than that, too. But he's at least in those two.
Yeah, so we're going to bring that guy back, but we're going to bring back Conduit. Give me a break.
Well,
Massacre, backstory.
Massacre's a good guy for, I need a one-off villain for a single issue. Given that Conduit is Superman's Hush, you go a little deeper.
Yes, a little bit. But then I think back of how they brought back Hush in those other series, so I'm thinking maybe they shouldn't bring him back.
Conduit is better than Hush, but only marginally so. Although, I am surprised that you would think in Smallville they might have done have Kenny Braverman be a reoccurring character, have him have a whole thing as Conduit.
Yeah, especially when that show was popular, was early 2000s, so it would have been just after the time these released.
But maybe Conduit already felt like really dated in mid-90s, and they were trying to be hip late 90s and early aughts.
Yeah, I don't think you watch enough Smallville to make that kind of opinion, Bob.
Okay. I'm offering it as a theory.
It's pretty bad. No, it was pretty 90s. I had to question myself for a minute.
All right. Another possibility. Maybe Conduit's cords or tentacles or whatever they were. Maybe the CGI just wasn't there for them.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. They couldn't do it in a way that looked decent and somewhat realistic.
So, Matt, I do have a question I wanted to pose to you, I guess, in general, and then we can go to the specific thing that provoked it. So, in general, a thing that came up a lot when we were just covering X-Men 97, and you should listen to our coverage on Uncanny Treks, it's very good. But when we were covering X-Men 97, a lot of people on Facebook were complaining, and we were making fun of them for arguing that they were going to burn through the whole X-Men mythos, that they condensed Inferno down to 10 minutes in a 30-minute episode, and that they were just blazing through so many elements of Krakoa and the Morrison run and the late 90s that they were not being wise and studious in their use of storytelling resources. I never agreed with that at all. I think X-Men history is vast and writers are creative and you can get other stuff and that's fine. I do a little bit have this concern with the Superman show that they're just burning through way too much of the mythos. Do you share that concern or am I just being crazy or do I just not like the show? So I'm just faulting it for this.
I don't know, Bob. I think you're just trying to look for faults because they've got 86 years of lore to draw upon. I think they're going to be okay. They'll find something to write about. And if not, maybe they could come up with something original. What if they came up with an original idea?
My examples of this are we have Brainiac here.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before, but Brainiac is a combination of Brainiac, Drew Zod, Zor-El, Allura, and Mongol. He has elements from all of those characters. It's a lot of characters. Zor-El and Allura are Supergirl's parents. They're usually not that important, except for in New Krypton, which is a pretty cool story, I thought. Many, many other people didn't. But usually they're not that important. So burning through them is no big deal. But burning through strong elements of Brainiac, Zod, and Mongol all at once, that just seems not wise to me.
I think you're really pushing it, Bob, because I think they're going to introduce Zod in a whole different way that you're not going to recognize.
But I don't know. He can't be reestablishing the Kryptonian Empire. He can't be doing the Kneel Before Zod.
Which is why I'm telling you, Bob, they're going to find a creative way to bring in General Zod. Do not fear. And didn't we already see Mongol in this, or am I just thinking of Young Justice?
I think you are thinking of Young Justice, where we see a lot of Mongol.
It is really hard to watch this show and Young Justice at the same time. at least
you're not getting out of it, Matt. You're gonna eat your vegetables.
I know. I'm gonna eat my vegetables, but they start to run together. But yeah, Mongol hasn't been seen. So yeah, I could see them burning a little bit through Mongol here. He is a lot like Mongol.
I don't like Mongol that much, so that one doesn't bother me. What bothers me is more the use of Zod elements, which we've already talked about. And it also a little bit, because the only thing Mongol's ever done in his entire existence that was cool, besides destroy Coast City, that was pretty cool. The only other thing he's ever done that was cool was he put the Black Mercy on Superman.
Right.
And the Black Mercy in that famous Superman annual written by Alan Moore from the 80s does a very specific thing. And this Black Mercy is a lot more versatile, and I honestly didn't care for its versatility.
Yeah, this Black Mercy apparently doesn't just give them the hallucination that whatever they're wanting, their desires are real. It actually allows whoever is in control of them to manipulate and brainwash them, change their memories. That's not how it was originally written. Kind of annoying. And we had a perfect episode with Black Mercy in Justice League Unlimited. That was a fantastic adaptation. So
you're right. I totally forgot about that, but that's a great episode. Yeah.
So when I saw this, I was like, okay, we're going back to this. We are switching it up a little bit. They had to change it. I mean, we have the perfect adaptation.
Do you remember that great moment from the original comic where it's pre-crisis Jason Todd? So it's basically just Dick Grayson again, but pre-crisis Jason Todd meets Wonder Woman and he's hubba hubba hubbing. And Batman's just like, pure thoughts, chum, pure thoughts.
I do vaguely remember that. Yes.
From that wholesome moment to another less wholesome thing, Superman's whole argument when he's in the Black Mercy arguing with Brainiac is that he has love and kindness and that gives him extra power. Matt, am I too cynical in saying that I don't think this Superman runs on love and kindness? I feel like he runs on a neurotic need for acceptance and intimacy.
Yeah, he really does. He has to have a Lois and Jimmy. Like, he has a super strong connection with them that's beyond what it should be at this point in his life. Or at least I never really experienced that in my life.
It's one thing to love your partner and your friend, and it's another normal thing to be anxious about, am I annoying them? Am I irritating them? Am I displeasing them?
Do they accept me?
Yeah, but it's another thing that just this constant overreading of every single thing they do or say. Oh, now maybe they're going to be racist at me. I don't know, man. It's a little intense.
It was a little interesting, too, in going back through his memories in that Clark apparently puts just as much emphasis on his friendship with Jimmy as he does in his loving relationship with Lois.
This episode was sort of teasing us that the real tension going forward is going to be Lois and Supergirl. But what if it's really Superman and Supergirl over Jimmy? Real romantic tension there.
What if Jimmy's love for Supergirl is just a way for him to appease himself, knowing that he can't be with Superman?
That's exactly what it is. And I feel bad. I feel bad for Supergirl. We already basically knew this, but we get a little more clarity that Supergirl is finding these worlds for Brainiac. He's refusing to preserve them and instead destroying them. And then he's wiping her memory. And, you know, doing this to, quote unquote, build the Kryptonian Empire. Matt, does that seem to you like an allegory for us in this podcast? I'm Brainiac. You're Supergirl. I force you to destroy the stuff you love. It feels like what we're doing here. Yeah.
What am I destroying? I don't feel like I'm destroying anything. I mean, I'm making fun of it.
You're destroying it through conversation, I feel.
Overly analyzing cartoons that are sometimes originally meant for children, but yeah. It's good, Bob. It's good. It's good practice. It airs at midnight on Saturday or Sunday morning when those kids should be at church.
Oh, man. Matt's taking the hard line. Stop following this false messiah. Stop going to church. Matt's got the hard line.
Yeah, y'all should be at church, not watching My Adventures with Superman Sunday. No, they really should. They probably get more of this show. But honestly, isn't it weird, though? Have we ever had Supergirl as, like, Brainiac's, like, herald?
No, although it does sort of make sense with the way Brainiac preserves stuff, Supergirl's city survives. There's thematic consonance there. You've brought up before, it's also similar to the fantasy of bad Supergirl working for Darkseid was rampant in the 2000s.
She's got to be a little naughty, 2000s. Bob. Got to be a little naughty.
Obviously sexualized to an uncomfortable degree in the 2000s art. So one thing this does do that I think is really new and I was fascinated by is we see the Black Mercy stuff actually do Black Mercy stuff on Superman, which is give him an idealized vision of something that he lost as something to trap him. And it's a vision of him hanging out with his parents and two older siblings. And I might be wrong, but I think this is really the only time in Superman we've ever seen him have siblings, or especially it just seems interesting for him to be a younger sibling. I mean, certainly there's Mon-El in the Legion, but that's just they briefly mistake Mon-El for his brother, and that only lasts for a story. So I don't know. I just thought this was a fascinating innovation in the Superman mythos.
Yeah, him not being an only child is way different. It changes things up a little bit, because why didn't they put those other kids or one of the older kids ship, or why they have to send the youngest one? How do they make that decision? In the original story, Superman, in the original story by Moore, Superman, his whole fantasy is that he, as an adult, has children of his own. Whereas here, it's more, this is a younger Superman, so he has this younger fantasy of him just reliving his childhood. It's a little different.
I hadn't thought about it in specifically those terms, but you're totally right that it's an inverted form of the fantasy from the Moore annual in the 80s. It does seem to speak to still probably more like a young adult audience than anything else.
Yeah, I don't think, I still agree, Bob. I kind of sort of agree with you. It's not meant for us, but it's okay. We've got to finish it.
Yeah.
We're episode 8.
Yeah. Well, but do we have to do season 3, Matt?
We'll see, Bob. We'll see.
Hey, I reserve the right, if episode 10 is anything like last year's episode 10, I reserve the right to just be like, nah.
Yeah, that's the only episode, we're missing that episode and episode 4 of season 2 in our actual coverage.
Don't put episode 4 on me, that was you.
Well, it really wasn't anything to talk about in episode 4, but yeah, I agree.
No, that's true. I mean, that too. Yeah. One thing I actually did really like from this episode, though, we see Superman, as possessed by Brainiac, has a costume that's similar to Brainiac's Supergirl costume, but I like it more. It's got the three-point Brainiac insignia from Brainiac and the Bruce Timm Superman. And he also has like the slutty openings on the costume over his bosom and over his gut that you usually reserve for female characters. I just thought that was really funny. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, like his nipples are legit the two of the points on the Brainiac belly buttons. Put that together.
Have you seen the trailers for Kinds of Kindness, Matt?
I do not know.
Did you by chance happen to see Poor Things or The Favorite?
No, I didn't bother.
They're by a Greek director named Yorgos Lanthimos. He's not my favorite director, but he's a very strange director. And basically his movies are usually Emma Stone humiliates herself in a good way. And it's very like, oh man, she's a brave actress. And the one, I just went to see it yesterday with a friend for her birthday. And it's three short stories as a single film, Pulp Fiction style. And in the third story, it's Yorgos Lanthimos does Dune, but it's set in Louisiana in 2022. And Emma Stone is searching for the Messiah. And whenever she thinks she has the Messiah, she's searching for a female Messiah. She strips the Messiah and then measures the space from the woman's nipple to her navel. And she does it with both nipples. And it's the strangest thing. Is it likely to be different?
Wow. Okay. Let me piece all this together. So we have Brainiac, and then I describe Brainiac's symbol as being on his nipples, and you tell me about Emma Stone measuring a Messiah's nipples in a movie that you saw yesterday.
Yeah, from nipple to navel.
Nipple to navel. Wow.
What I'm saying is, if you really want to troll and horrify your wife, you should take her to Kinds of Kindness.
Yeah, she would kill me if that happened on the screen and we were watching it. But I'll check it out later. It'll be on HBO Max at some point. So, Bob, one thing about, it's going back to this costume, though, this super Brainiac costume or whatever. He's got no shoes.
Oh, I didn't notice.
He's got no shoes. And then on top of that, I thought it was really cool that when he is exposed to that green kryptonite, he turns green. Are they going to keep him that way? Because that would be an awesome way to segue into him having the green skin. I was like, oh, it makes sense why he's got the green skin. But they didn't. They took it away. But for just a moment, I was like, that's going to be awesome.
So, Matt, I totally forgot. Did you remember when Jimmy got the kryptonite? We've established I don't pay as much attention to this show as I should.
Yes, Bob. It was in the Fortress of Solitude episode when they visit the fortress. He got a little ball.
They did a Fortress of Solitude?
Yes, Bob. Was it this season or season one?
It was this season.
I'm pretty sure they went to his fortress. Or they made his fortress.
Was it at the end of season one?
No, I think it was the beginning of the season.
Really?
Yes, well, because he meets Jor-El, Deathstroke, and Amanda Waller. They all show up at the fortress.
Sorry, bro. I got nothing.
I can't believe you don't remember that they went to the fortress. I got a question for you, Bob, though. Like, the way this episode ends, okay? Is Lois now, that she has this thing, is she going to invade Clark's memories and then alter them to how she feels they need to be.
Oh man, that sounds super shady and ethically dubious. I bet our Lois will do it.
A reverse Brainiac. She's gonna make him love her more.
Maybe Lois is the real Brainiac.
What if Bob, Lois makes him forget her?
Oh snap!
And then season three, we get to rekindle. We get to rewatch them get together all over again.
That doesn't seem impossible. It's also interesting because it reverses the dynamic of Silver Age Superman, of him constantly lying and hiding his identity from her.
Yeah, and him giving her amnesia kisses.
All that gaslighting, but it just sort of inverts it. That's an interesting decision.
Well, Bob, it may happen, and we'll see. But I do have to ask this, though, Bob. I don't know what's going to happen to Brainiac after this season, because you know Superman's going to get his body back. Where's Brainiac going to go next?
Just going to chill in the nipples, Matt.
Do you think they would go the Luther route like they did in the animated series?
They could, although I feel like they've done so little with Luther, they may not want to go there yet, right? You want to establish Luther a bit more before you do something drastic like that.
I just hope they don't go the route of making them the robots that are real big for they become Brainiac's thing. I'm hoping they don't zap Brainiac's consciousness into all those robots. That's too much to me like what's going on in the actual DC Comics now. Have you been keeping up at all with this
absolute power? No, I was reading the Brainiac crossover, the House of Brainiac, but it did two things in one issue that I couldn't take. It got Amanda Waller involved for no good reason, and it revealed that it was multiversal Brainiac. And I was just like, that's dumb. I'm not going to keep reading.
The other side of the coin is that Batman, in the recent events that have happened in Batman, he created the robot Failsafe that has the Zur-En-Aa programming. So it's the better Batman. Well, now that's been taken over by Amanda Waller. So Amanda Waller now has Failsafe as her companion dude. She also has the female Brainiac.
I feel so liberated by not caring about any of this.
It's so messed up. But I'll tell you what, though, Bob. Honestly, God, I guess I can thank you for this. Reading more X-Men comics has opened my mind up more to the really, really stupid that goes on in DC. Because I understand better now that, okay, this stuff's been around so long, they got to take, like, risks sometimes with some of this weird. They just have to. Because they can't. If not, you're just retelling the same story over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was enjoying Josh Williamson's run on Superman. The first two trades were, if there was some fun dynamics with, like, him taking over LexCorp. There was a cool dynamic with him and Lex and him and Mercy. There was some time travel. I was having a good time with it. And then it just went into this House of Brainiac crossover, and which is, I think, now going into Absolute Power.
It totally is. That's what they're doing. Absolute Power is Amanda Waller creating Amazos from Failsafe's programming and female Brainiac's programming.
I'll be happy to try again when they relaunch it after Absolute Power, I suppose.
I may have to go back and read the trade for that whenever it drops.
For Superman. The Williamson run? Yeah, it's two trades. Superman Volume 1, Supercore, and Superman Volume 2, The Chained. I enjoyed both.
Okay, all right. I'll read those because I want to get caught up a little bit so I can understand what's going on in DC now, because I really stepped away from DC for the last couple of years.
Well, I don't know how much those will be useful to understanding Absolute Power. It sounds like to understand Absolute Power, you want to read House of Brainiac, you want to read Zdarsky's run, and then you probably want to read Mark Waid's Batman and Superman, which he's been writing for a couple years now, which I dropped off of when they started involving Kingdom Come stuff. Waid's the one actually writing Absolute Power, I think.
Gotcha.
Any predictions for next week, Matt?
I don't really, Bob. I'm just telling you, I have a feeling that Lois is going to spend most of the episode saving Clark, running through his memories, convincing him that everything's fine. And then we're going to get episode 10, Superman versus Brainiac. Kara's going to be involved somehow. And then we'll...
Based on the titles, though, it sounds like the 10th episode might be more of a Supergirl-focused episode rather than a Superman-focused episode.
Well, they got to figure out what to do with her. Is she going to stick around? Is she going to go off in space?
Yeah, I wonder if maybe
to die.
I wonder if maybe they'll do something where it's like Superman and Jimmy or Superman and Lois having adventures in space while it's Supergirl and either Lois or Jimmy stuck on Earth doing the normal Superman stuff. That might be where they're going for season 3.
I would like them to do an episode of Supergirl and Jimmy having adventures in space. one episode.
The way you do that, though, is you have Superman have the adventures in space, and then you have Supergirl take over Superman's role.
She got to become friends with Lois, too, Bob, at some point.
Yeah, so that's maybe why you leave Lois on Earth with her, and then you have Jimmy go with Superman. So episode 9 is Pierce the Heavens Superman, which sounds like a climax, but maybe not. And then episode 10 is My Adventures with Supergirl.
Pierce the Heavens does sound like a climax, but I'm going to yell that next time.
Heyo.
Pierce the Heavens!
But if you remember, and you may not because we didn't finish it, but if you remember, the structure for the end of last season was 8 and 9 were a two-parter, and then 10 was more of an epilogue.
Okay. Maybe they'll go that same route.
Yeah.
I really, deep down, don't want a whole episode of Lois inside Superman's head, but...
I don't either, but whatever. I don't know. This week was slightly better. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would agree, Bob. It was a lot better. Miles is coming a little bit. Miles is really picking up a little bit.
All right. Well, this has been Uncanny Treks on My Adventures with Superman. We'll see you for the last two episodes, probably. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.